Okay, praise God. We thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And he continues to teach us, to guide us. And I pray that God will, you know, allow his word to take root in our lives. You know, it's always good to recognize that the best gift that God can give anyone, ideally, is just his word. He's just his word, because his word is himself. And you know, when God is in the process of growing us in faith, what he does is that he gives us a teacher. He gives us a teacher, and the teacher is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you have an anointing within you that teaches you all things, by which you know all things. And Jesus promised his disciples that when he goes, it is good for him to go, because when he goes, he will ask the Father, who will send forth the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, as a guide. And the Bible tells us that this Holy Spirit comes forth. He's a Spirit of truth who shall guide us into all truth and remind us of the things that he had taught us. So the Holy Spirit comes to remind us, comes to teach us, comes to show us the way, guiding us into all truth, convicting the world of sin and with regards to righteousness, and being a teacher, being the teacher. And that is why when you are taught by the Spirit of God, then you are given a language, because the Bible tells us that we speak with a word of wisdom among the mature, and God really wants us to grow into maturity, to grow into character, to grow into good reputation, to grow into service, and to grow into faith and wisdom and even power. And I think today we'll be able to look at the progress of Stephen. And why do I call it the progress of Stephen? Because we need to see how God grows him, and how he grows in his faith to do the various things that he does, and even to the point where he goes on to be a martyr. I think it will just cut across chapter 5 and chapter 6. We might not look into much detail into his sermon that he shared to the elders, but maybe if God allows us, we shall look at that next. But anyway, today we'll be able to see the progress of Stephen, and by that draw some conclusions on how we can, you know, continue to advance in our faith, and as well also in our service to God. Now we are in Acts chapter 6, and the Bible tells us, verse 1, now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, and remember we spoke about multiplication, not addition at this point. That means that each and every believer was being converted to the level of the apostle. And how are they being converted? They were being taught the word of God. The word of God increased. They were baptized. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they served. And this is actually part of the progress of Stephen. Now, the Bible says that there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, who are the Greeks, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Remember, the church was feeding people daily, and there were widows. And you know, at this point, the church was still young, and this is something that you will understand, that the church was still young. The church was a new community that was being formed, that was being persecuted, that, you know, that was different from the community, because now it was encompassing the Jews and the Gentiles. They were growing in unity. They were becoming, you know, as one unit. But you see, whenever there is a community, and there is always some issues that arise. And someone said, there is no perfect church. And if you find a perfect church, the moment you join it, then the church becomes imperfect, because you as a person, you are not perfect. And that is something that is very interesting, because now they had an issue, they had a challenge. Remember, initially they used to share everything to everyone as if, and there was no poor person among them. They would sell land, houses, and everything that they possessed. But then what happened in the distribution, remember at all, it was brought to the apostles' feet, and then it was distributed to everyone that had need. But you see, then there arose a challenge in the distribution, in that the Greek widows complained that, or rather the Greeks complained that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food, over the Hebrew widows, and that was a concern to the church. And the apostles came forward and said, look here, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That means the apostles had shifted from their core mandate, which was to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded them. That was their main mandate of the apostles, to make disciples, not to make converts, to make disciples. That means to train men, and after you have trained them, you also teach them to obey everything that God has commanded. And this is the difference between those, you know, where we just say it's faith and just believing and without the corresponding actions that show belief. Why? Because in the obedience is where we prove that to men and those around us that we have actually believed. So you cannot say, oh, I believe, and yet your life is a contradiction to that belief. Because to the outside world, if you're still living as a contradiction, then it does not make sense for you to claim a salvation by which you live contrary to it. And that is on a willing basis. Now, verse 3 tells us, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation. And now this is, we're looking at the progress of Stephen. The Bible says, first of all, they needed a man, 7 men who are of good reputation. That means that they had a name. Not only the name is built by actions. That means by how they lived, by their conduct, by their character, they had a good reputation. Remember, the Bible says, whenever you're choosing a deacon, choose one that has a good reputation with outsiders. That means that the name of God may not be discredited. That means you don't appoint someone that will cause controversy and that will cause the bring the name of the Lord to disrepute. Now, that does not mean that if you have failed in the past, you can ever be appointed in leadership. No, but this is a character issue. Why? Because men fail, and there is a place for grace. I mean, David fell, but in his repentance, God brought him up again and used him for his glory. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. You wouldn't say it's a character issue. It was a fear issue. He feared at that moment, but then God restores him. Jesus restores him and said, look here, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that after you have stood up again, you shall strengthen your brethren. And so Peter is the one that is taking charge of this church. But now they have shifted from their core mandate, which is the ministry of the word and prayer, and they have shifted to administration and to distributing food. And this is a common concern, especially with churches, where initially the servants of God are mostly focused on prayer, giving people the word of God. But you see, there is a need to manage increase. There's a need to manage numbers. There's a need to manage the ministry. And this happens when now these responsibilities come, when now you have an NGO, when now you are serving people food, when now you have a clinic, when you have, you know, all these shops and all that is happening, that you can find that you have neglected your core responsibility, which is the preaching of the word of God, which is evangelism, which is reaching out for the lost souls, and you are now focused on just administration, you are focused on distributing food. And that is where we go wrong as churches, because we at times can focus so much on celebrations, focus so much on parties, focus so much on, you know, on the day-to-day activities, as opposed to being in the place of intimacy with God. It is your intimacy with God that will build men, that will build you, that will make a distinction for you. And you can see now they find a man good or full of good reputation, and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Now, the man, and we're seeing the progress of Stephen, so we see, first of all, he's born again. He gets into the fold. He becomes a disciple. Then secondly, he's baptized. And then now he's a member of the church. And remember, the Bible says they were being taught the word of God daily. They They were being taught the word of God daily. And as they were taught, then he now became a man who is obedient to the faith and became a man of good reputation. Now, after being a man of good reputation, now he becomes full of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting why the scripture uses the word full, because it tells you that he grew in spirit. You know, it's one thing to be born again, then you are a babe. You're a spiritual babe. That means you're born. Not that you're given a different Holy Spirit. You're given the whole same Holy Spirit, but in your knowledge of him, in your exercising of your gifts, in your obedience to him, you are not yet full. And remember, who was also full of the Holy Spirit? Jesus came after he had fasted in the wilderness for 40 days. The Bible says he came full of the Holy Spirit. That means initially the Holy Spirit came and rested upon him on the day of baptism. It dwelt upon him. But you see, after he came out of the wilderness of being tested and tempted by the devil, he came full of the Holy Spirit. That means that you can be filled and you can become full of the Holy Spirit. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Remember, there are levels. There's first the regeneration where the Holy Spirit is in you. And this happens to every believer that comes at the point of salvation. The Holy Spirit comes and regenerates your spirit and comes and dwells in your spirit, because now there is that intermingling between the Spirit of God and the spirit of man. There is that unity that happens, and that is where the Bible says the two become one. You become he that is joined to the Spirit of the Lord is one spirit with him. You now become one spirit, and this unity of the Spirit, that's why we say we are united in Christ. We are in Christ and Christ is in us, because the Spirit of God comes to dwell in our human spirit, and when there is that mingling, you become one, and that is a mystery that does not allow you to be possessed by demonic spirits. As a believer, you cannot be possessed. Maybe they may demonize, they may attack you, but you may not be possessed. Why? Because your spirit is made alive. That regeneration is what makes you a Christian. Then now, beyond that, then now there is now what is called the Holy Spirit coming upon you, or being baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the baptism with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And baptism is immersion. Baptism is baptizo, where you are immersed in water. Now, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are now fully immersed, and where the Holy Spirit comes and surrounds you, envelops you. And beyond that, you can continue being infilled and infilled with the Holy Spirit. And then when you are infilled with the Holy Spirit, then you become full of the Holy Spirit. Now we are seeing the progress of Stephen. The Bible describes us that they looked for men who are of good reputation. These are born again, who are also living right with God, and then they are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So now remember, there's something that we always keep saying, that the Holy Spirit usually ideally releases two dimensions which are important to the body of Christ. Number one is wisdom, and number two is power. Remember, it says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but it is a matter of power. That means the Holy Spirit is able to release wisdom. Christ has become our wisdom, and he has also become our power from God, and has also become our sanctification. Now, the wisdom of God is the ability to understand his word, to understand the mind of God over a matter, because wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom brings us success. You know, wisdom is the one that calls out in the streets and say, you know, heed to my paths. Wisdom is the spirit of God, is the spirit of Christ. Remember, Jesus said, there is now one wiser than Solomon that stands before you. Wiser than Solomon. So now, this is the wisdom of God. This is the messianic wisdom by which we operate in when we are given the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, that's why I'm saying that they needed men full of the spirit and wisdom. So now, he has now grown in spirit. He is full of the spirit. Remember, Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Think of even John the Baptist. The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit from the mother's womb. But then when the child grew, he grew strong in spirit. And that's why it says our spiritual men, our spiritual inner beings also grow strong in spirit. And how do we grow our spirits? By the word of God, and also by exercising spiritual disciplines of the word of God. That's why the Bible says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk of the word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, by which you may be able to grow in your salvation. You must crave, you must desire. And if you find that you're not interested in the things of God, ask God to give you the hunger. Now, the Bible says, and they chose Stephen, a man, now, whom they may appoint over this business. Sorry, verse 3. And but verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And verse 5 tells us, and this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Now, the Bible now describes Stephen. Remember, it had started with good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And now it says, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Now, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the rest are just described by names, and Philip. Remember, Philip later on becomes full of faith. So there's also the progress of Philip, and you can read that. Philip moves on to become a man of faith and the word, and then he moves into signs, miracles, and wonders. And these are the secrets by which you progress in your salvation. You progress as a convert, then you become a disciple, then you live in the conduct, then you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you become full of the Holy Spirit. God grants you wisdom, God grants you faith, God grants you power, God grants you signs, miracles, and wonders. And also along there is service. You remember, service. And that's why we keep saying, serve God. Serve God. Find something to do in the house of God and do it consistently. It might not be pretty to others, but there is nothing that moves God than a servant's heart. Someone that is serving him with the fullness of joy, someone that is serving him without concern of what people say, someone that is serving him consistently, morning, evening, consistently, someone that has committed, you know what, God, I'm going to do this. If it is, I'm going to give this offering, I will consistently give this level until the time when you raise me to another level, and they do it. Or someone says, I will be coming to arrange, and they're consistently are found. Or someone says, I'll be coming to pray, or I will stand as an intercessor in the church, and you do it. The place of service is a place of honor. The Bible says, I will honor the son that serves me. God says he will honor the sons that serve him. You want God to honor you, serve him. Serve him, serve him. You'll see a difference. Now, Stephen serves, and now he becomes a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible describes the other apostles. Now, verse 8, which is now telling us of Stephen, the Bible says, and Stephen, full of faith and power. Can you see the progress? Did great wonders and signs among the people. So he started with salvation, he got baptized, he worked in the conduct, then he became full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and he was appointed to serve. Then what did God go beyond that? He now added to him, now he became full of faith. Now, everyone has faith, yes, but you see, well, there is someone who is full of faith. And this is what we call the gift of faith. There is the gift of faith, which is among the gifts. It does not mean that everyone else does not have faith. Everyone has faith, but there are people who are given a gift of faith. What is that gift of faith? That supernatural courage that they can see a crippled child and say, you are going to walk. Something in them of God moves them that nothing is impossible with God. And those that do great works for God are those that are full of faith. And those that are given the gift of faith, not only just the gift, but they are full of faith. And when you have moved into the faith realm, into the fullness of faith, then power becomes a byproduct of that. That is when now you see power manifestation. That is when you see great wonders and signs among the people. You can see the progress of Stephen. But you see, with every progress comes opposition. And what did they try? Verse 9 tells us, Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen. These were former slaves who were with the Jews, who were freed by the Romans, because the Romans, when they came, they took over, they found Jews had slaves, so they freed them. Why? And they are described Cyrenians. Remember, Cyrene is Africa, where the Simon the Cyrene, the black man or the African man who carried, you know, the cross of Jesus, Alexandrians, that is Egypt, and those from Cilicia and Asia. So also there were also some Asian slaves disputed with Stephen. So these former slaves, because they had been in Israel, they also were practicing the faith. They were freed here, so they formed their own synagogue. So now, in what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Now you see, he's now getting to the place now where he is now a witness. He can now confront the system. He's grown in faith. He's grown in signs and wonders. And now opposition arises. You can see this is progress. Why? Because God now allows him to contend at the gates. Remember, the Bible says that sons are like arrows in the shoot, are like arrows in the quiver of a man, and they will defend him at the city gates. So that means that when you've grown to a son, now the Lord is able to take you to the gates, to the places of the authority, where now you are able to contend for the faith and you can stand. And now when he contends for the faith, they tried to contend with him, but you see, the Bible says they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Now, when they could not resist, they now hire people. The Bible says, verse 11, then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Remember, the Pharisees, they were only reading the first five books, the laws of Moses. Oh, that was their main focus. Everything Moses says, that was the main focus. And the Bible says, and they said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. They're not even saying against Jesus or against the prophets. To them, Moses, the greatest prophet of the Israelites, is Moses. Those that have not believed in Jesus, they believe in Moses. And that's why Moses, he tells them, Moses himself told you that God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren. You're speaking of the Christ. And yet they did not believe him. So they accuse him, the Bible says, verse 12, and they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. Verse 13, they also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. Fighting religion, fighting traditions. Verse 15, and all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Can you see the progress of what God is doing? He's elevating him. And then you know what? When now you will read Acts chapter 7, and when God will help us to go through it, you will see that he did not even go outside the book of Moses. He just preached to them from where they know. And this is about preaching, contending. Start with what people know. Teach them what they know. Then bring the Christ, reveal the Christ. Start with where people are at. And that is a place where, as a minister, you pray to God that God to reveal to you what is it that people need to hear at this point. Where are they in their level of faith, such that you don't cast your pearls to pigs. Now, I'll quickly jump to verse 54 of Acts chapter 7. The Bible says that when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Now, instead of being cut to the heart and repenting, think of Acts chapter 2, where Peter preached the crowd, where the Bible says they were cut to the heart and they asked, what must we do? Now, in this time, these people, they are cut to the heart So the word cuts, remember the word is a double-edged sword, but the response is different. The Bible says, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. That means the gospel is not only the power of God to save, but it is also a word of offense. It is the stone of offense. That means the gospel, you will either accept it or reject it, and it will either offend you or it will heal you. Now, the Bible says they gnashed at him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now look at this. God has already shifted his countenance. His face has become as an angel. Remember, he's now being transfigured. He's already now, he's even before he starts to preach, his face becomes like an angel. He now starts to be transfigured before them. Why? Because he is now beginning to ascend into glory. Even while he's preaching to them. Then they think they are killing him, but he has already begun to be welcomed. Why? Because the light of the gospel, that is the light of Christ, is shining on his face, and his countenance starts to change. And the Bible says, now God opens his eyes. Look at the progress. He now has even grown before contention. Now God even gives him the ability to see in the spirit. And now he becomes a seer and is able to see. And the Bible says he sees the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. We know God sits, but this time the Son of Man stands. And the Bible says they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they stoned Stephen, as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The man grew. He got born again. He got baptized. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He grew in character, good reputation. He grew in wisdom. He became full of the Spirit. He got the wisdom of God. He got the full of faith. He got power and power. Then he served on tables, and then he did signs, miracles, and wonders. He contends at the gates, at the city gates. He is accused falsely. He is transformed in his countenance. He preaches the word of God boldly. And then his eyes are open and he is received into glory. I pray that God will, along this journey, grow us in faith in all these progresses, in all these steps, that at the end of the day, the end result is to be with him and to be welcomed with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, saying, well done, good and faithful servant. So I'll stop there, and I pray that God will give us insight more into this. My brother, you're welcome, as God leads you. Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come forth in power. I pray for conviction that goes beyond our understanding. We thank you. We honor you. Touch your people. Encourage them. Strengthen them. And be with them. May we be built up with the word to grow and progress in the things of God until that day when we shall meet you face to face. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom and blessed, blessed day.